fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here for another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend, opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day together with friends and family. I'm delighted this morning to be able to welcome two special guests, Dr. Dan Williamson and his lovely wife, Lynn, who've been dynamically involved in the work of the Lord for many years. And I met them maybe a month and a half or so ago at a conference at a parish in Columbus, Ohio. I was able to hear Dan speak, and he's very passionate. He was once a Nazarene pastor of a Nazarene Christian church. He and Lynn entered into the Catholic Church not too long ago. I thought, wow, what a great story. I got to get him on the radio show. So they're here in town, here in Ann Arbor. So glad to have them in the studio. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. So Dan, let's start with you. Just kind of the beginning of your story. Were you a Christian your whole life, and what happened?
No, I was raised outside the church, a pagan, if you will, outside the walls of the church. And when I was 16, I wanted to date a gal, and her mother wouldn't let me date her unless I went to church. So I said, that's a good enough reason for me to go to church. And so I started attending a Nazarene church, and for 6 months, I felt like that pastor only spoke to me. I didn't understand that I was under deep conviction. And one Sunday night, he said, with every eye closed and head bowed, he said, we're going to sing this chorus one more time. He was giving an altar call for people to come up and give their lives to the Lord. And so I put my head down, but I kept one eye open, and I knew he was coming for me. And he came around and tapped me on the shoulder, and he says, Dan, I wouldn't want to embarrass you for anything, but he says, the Holy Spirit told me that tonight's your night. Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? And I didn't understand. I just burst out in tears, and my heart was just greatly moved. And they led me to the altar, and it was an old Nazarene church, and so they had about 20 guys pounding me on the back so I would get it. And I mean, if like I said, it was outside my paradigm. But I saw fireworks. It was my first vision that God had given me, and my heart was just moved. God moved on me in a mighty way, radically changed my life.
Yeah. So that was at age 16. So
yes, sir.
What happened then?
Well, after that, it was amazing because they didn't disciple me, which hurt me because I was in the church, and I thought I was a mature Christian, but I was a baby Christian and didn't really know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And when I was 18, I had a call to the ministry, and I ran as far away from it as I could. And then I got married and had a son, and my life wasn't right. And I was still attending the Nazarene church, but I was backslidden. I had walked away from the Lord. My relationship wasn't up to date. And so the whole church was praying for me. And on a Sunday morning, with my son, he's 10 months old, in the nursery, I decided I'm not going to live my life like this anymore. And the pastor had an open altar call during their prayer time, not at the end of the service, but right after the singing. He said, anybody would like to come up and pray? We're going to have a little prayer time. And I walked up there. I took two steps out of that pew. I was in my favorite pew, which was the last pew in the church, just barely inside the door. And the Lord, I felt in my spirit the Lord say to me, what if I call you back into ministry? And I said, it doesn't matter, Lord, whatever you want. And this time I went to the altar, and nobody came. Nobody prayed with me, not even the pastor. And no fireworks this time. And I said, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for walking away from you, and I want to rededicate my life to you. Mm-hmm. And that time it had to be by faith. It wasn't by outward works. It wasn't by what somebody was saying. Mm-hmm. But, in fact, I didn't tell anybody. And somebody said, why aren't you witnessing? And I said, because I want my life to be the witness. I want what the change, God's transformation in my life. I want it to speak. I'm tired of talking about it. I want it to be real and authentic.
Yeah. So at that point, you made the change. You came back. Did you actually enter the ministry at that point, or what happened?
Actually, I got called on a year later. My life had so radically changed that the went on a work and witness trip. We were building a radio station in Costa Rica, about 20 Nazarenes, and I was a chaplain, and I was doing the Bible studies every day and leading that worship service. And on the Sunday between, we spent 2 weeks there, the missionary came up and asked my friend if he wanted to preach. He said, no way, man. And he said, how about you, Dan? And I said, no, but my pastor was there, and he picked up on the Holy Spirit, because when I said, when he asked me if I wanted to preach, my heart jumped. I'd never experienced anything like that. So pastor said, you know, it'd be a good experience for you. So I said, okay. So I had 30 minutes to prepare my first sermon. And we drove out. It was already nighttime, and we were in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, and rode in the back of a pickup truck out there with my pastor. And my pastor was repenting on the way to the church because he had responded out of the flesh. And I thought, here I am preaching my first sermon, and this man of God who I admire is repenting before the Lord because he got rough with somebody in his conversation. So we went there, and we were in a small building, and it was packed with 125 Hondurans. Every window was full of heads, you know, where they were looking in. The doorway was full of bodies, and it was lit by a kerosene lantern. And this missionary translated it as I preached. I preached the whole 10 minutes, so with his translation, it was a 20-minute sermon. Yeah. But in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit fell on me, and the Lord said, you're going to do this the rest of your life. Mm. Yeah, so I was greatly transformed.
Mm. And then you went from there to become a pastor yourself?
Or? Yeah, I went to seminary.
Okay.
I went to seminary in Kansas City, Nazarene Theological Seminary, and sold jewelry. It's funny, my degree was in electrical engineering, and here's a very reserved guy. God's calling to preach and to speak, and Lynn will tell you that I'm a man of a very few words. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And so the Lord had me selling diamonds to support my family while I was going to seminary full time.
What is the Nazarene church, actually? Like, tell us, like, what makes them Nazarene? What's unique about the Nazarenes?
Well, they're Wesley Arminian in their theology, and so they believe in free will or choice. Actually, when I was going through our Doctrine of Holiness class at seminary, the professor said the Nazarene theology is the closest to the Catholic theology in the Protestant realm, which I thought was a very amazing comment because they never talked about Catholics at seminary.
So who'd have thunk it that you'd end up becoming a Catholic at some point, right?
That's the ironic thing as I look back at it, and you know that my professor had talked about Catholics in theology class, and they never did that. So it was one of those little seeds, you know, that the Lord had put.
And at that time, it was probably the last thing that was ever going to be on your mind, right? So
it was.
Lynn,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about how you two met.
Oh, my heavens. There was a long journey to get to that place in life. But he had a heart for the Church of the Streets, and so did I. And he had left the Nazarene Church because they fired him for having the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues. It wasn't part of their doctrine, their idea. And so he wanted to do an independent work, and he was gathering up people that came from different faith backgrounds, the Methodists, the Church of God in Christ, the Presbyterians, Catholics, and some independents. And they would come at 3:00 in the afternoon and meet at the worst playground in the city of Toledo, but they never left their own churches. And at first, the other pastors were a little concerned that he was trying to steal people for a new move. But all he really wanted to do was train us up and equip us to do the work of Jesus' ministry in the streets. So the time was set at 3:00. Everybody could still go to their own churches. And then we met there and we did what Jesus wanted us to do. And I was just one of those people. I was hungry for the Lord. I wanted to be hands-on and more active. And so he had developed a prayer ministry at one point in time. He was also the director of prayer for the city of Toledo. And so I met him through intercessory prayer and knew that this would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah, wonderful. And so you, Dan, you served as a Nazarene pastor for how long?
At that church for 5 years.
Okay.
In Perrysburg, Ohio, just a suburb of Toledo.
Okay. So in the Nazarene church, the idea of the baptism in the Holy Spirit that's talked about in the first chapter of Acts and things, and the operation of charisms is not accepted.
Well, actually, they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They came out of the holiness movement, the revivals of the 1800s.
Okay.
All these independent works joined together to form the Pentecostal Church of Nazarene. And then when Azusa Street happened and the Pentecostal outpouring in California, the Nazarenes went to look at it, and they said they didn't want anything to do with it because of the prayer language that was involved.
Yes.
Okay, so the speaking in tongues was the issue.
Exactly. Right. They took Pentecostal out of the name Pentecostal Church of the Nazarene, and now it's known just as Church of the Nazarene.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you were 5 years at that particular church, but how many years as a pastor?
I had pastored for 3 years before that as an associate pastor of evangelism in St. Louis.
Okay. And so you got literally booted out? Is that what happened?
Actually, that's what exactly what happened. I had a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit in California. The Lord, I was reading, you know, in your doctorate, you have to do like 20,000 pages of reading over the program.
So you're working on your theology doctorate,
doctorate
at
ministry.
Fuller Seminary in California, is that correct?
Yes,
Fuller Doctorate of Ministry.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And while I was taking this class, I was doing all this reading about these people hearing the voice of God. And that was totally outside of my paradigm. I was praying for revival, praying for a deeper work of the Lord, but I had never heard the voice of the Lord like they were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Deere wrote a book, Surprised by the Power of God, and another one, Surprised by the Voice of God. He was on staff at Dallas Theological Seminary, where they were secessionists. They believed that all the gifts stopped. And
after the first century, right? It stopped at the end of the first century, roughly the death of the last apostle?
Exactly.
Is that their understanding? Okay.
Yes. And so he was asking people for an evangelist to come to his church. He was also pastoring. He wanted to have a revival. And he said, you need to have this evangelist come to your church because he hears from God. And he said, what do you mean he hears from God? He said, God speaks to him. And he said, I don't believe it. Literally, he was driving home and God spoke to him audibly. He about wrecked his car. And the Lord said, what do you mean I don't speak to people? And so he immediately called that evangelist. And his Baptist church went charismatic, and Dallas Theological Seminary fired him because they didn't believe the Holy Spirit moved like that. And so I was reading books like that as a Nazarene. It was outside the guidelines of the Nazarene church, the paradigm of the Nazarene church. And here I am working on a doctorate in ministry, and I got exposed to it because the professor was talking about prayer and hearing from the Lord. So it undid my paradigm. It just blew my concept of what prayer was and about what a minister really was. And then I had an experience out in California where I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when I went down on the floor, first of all, if you get slain in the Spirit like that, if you rest in the Spirit, if you go down because the Holy Spirit comes on you, the Nazarenes don't believe like that. You'd be fired. So I actually did a courtesy drop. When the pastor came to me, he prayed for me. I felt the Holy Spirit come on me. My knees got weak. I laid down on the floor. I thought, this will get him off of me. And he didn't. He came down, never touched me. He said, more Holy Spirit. And for 45 minutes, I shook like a leaf. And for the first time in my life, I felt the love of God. I had been raised in a house where my dad was a rage. He was an angry man, and I was the oldest son. So I was kind of the target of that. And I felt love for the first time in my life. And it completely undid me.
Well, it's a powerful story. You know, the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, you know, Jesus said, John came to baptize with water, but I came to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You know, in the last 50 years in the Catholic Church, the whole grace of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what that means has been awakened in a new way. I mean, as Catholics, we understand a baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. But the question is, how alive are we to the grace and the power and the presence of the Spirit? How docile are we to it? And the recent popes and others have really led us to grasp and lay hold of what is that grace. And so many people have experienced the very same thing that you guys have begun to share today, and we'll share more tomorrow, because got to have you back tomorrow, because we only just are scratching the surface. You guys able to come back tomorrow?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, because I want to hear more, Lynn, about your experience and just how you two came together. I want to hear about your marriage, want to hear about your kids, but also want to hear about your journey into the Catholic Church. Friends, I hope you can join us again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.